covering her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I can see why people find her intimidating. She is ridiculously good at everything she does. She seems like the sort of person who has everything completely in balance, and the sort of person who has everything perfect in her life, and she's really good at everything she does. You know those people, like, we all know at least one or two of them, who are just really good at everything that they do. You know, they're good at writing or reading or playing an instrument or literally everything they put their hands to, they're good at. I think that's what this woman sort of sounds a bit like, and why we can be so intimidated by her. But the thing that we need to understand about the Proverbs 31 woman, there's two things in particular before we go any further that we really need to understand about her. The first one is that she was written about in a completely different time and a completely different cultural context to us. Obviously, you know, distaffs and spindles and servant girls and all of that aren't particularly relevant to us right now anyway. And there aren't that many of us, probably a few, but not that many of us who, you know, make coverings for our beds. And although Gran made one that's pretty impressive, you can ask her about it. But I never have. Only one. And the second thing that we need to understand about the Proverbs 31 woman is that actually she's not even a real woman. She is fictional. And what we see in Proverbs 31 is actually not a list of this, you know, these things that all these this amazing woman can achieve, but it's actually like a list of godly attributes that we can aspire towards. Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., etc. We sort of hear those and we know, yeah, not doing so great at that one and that one this week. Yeah, I'll try and work on this one. God, can you help me with this one? You know, we don't give ourselves such a hard time about it, I think, as much as we do with this woman who seems to have her life perfectly in balance. But it's totally not about that. In fact, if we try and live our lives perfectly balanced and juggling everything, well, basically this is what happens. We're going to see it on the screen.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you something? Hi. Can I talk to you for a second? I see your dad, is that right? I'm wondering, how do you balance being a father and your work? How do you balance fatherhood and work?
That's a good question.
Have you ever been asked
that? No, I can't say that it's ever really come up.
B-A-L-A-N-C-E.
I've never been asked that.
Maybe once, I guess.
This time?
That would be one.
Yeah, I'm sure men occasionally get asked how they balance it all, but seriously, women get asked this all the time. We're putting completely ridiculous expectations on ourselves, and then we just end up feeling like failures. Because balancing it all implies that all the plates I'm carrying daily are balanced perfectly, and that's unrealistic and semi-abusive.
Balance is a dirty, dirty word. No, you should start bleeping it out. Seriously.
Did your wife get asked how she
All the time.
Because I've only been asked about 7,692 times, and then I stopped counting. You never get out.
Not until just now, no.
Every time I try to on my plate, the kids' activity plate, and the kids' homework plate, and the husband's plate, and the work plate, and the cooking plate, and the cleaning plate, and the volunteer plate, and the other plates, more plates than all my plates, at least one or more will fall in crash. You can't and don't have to it all perfectly in order to be able to do this. It's not about it's about choosing which plates I'm going to carry and which plates I'm going to have to put down for a couple hours. And sometimes, often, I'm going to need to ask for help in carrying all my plates. And that doesn't make me inadequate. That makes me human. So treat yourself a little more fairly. Stop expecting yourself to be extraordinary at everything every single day. And yes, that might mean missing out on certain things or not being employee of the month, but it also means not losing your sanity. And your spouse, your kids, your boss, they don't need you to
f**ks it all perfectly, but they do need you to be semi-sane.
So how's being a parent and work?
You know, I'm gonna have to call my wife and ask her.
We need more plates.
Although there she is, it's another one of her videos. I really like her because she just keeps it really real. And she sort of just gets rid of all of those silly expectations we put on ourselves. She's so great. Look her up. Yeah, that's what happens when we try to balance everything perfectly. It's not possible. Unrealistic. So we need to stop expecting ourselves to do it. The truth is, throughout the Bible, like, God used heaps of women and men who were not perfect, and he used them for his glory. And that's exactly what he's calling us to do. So as we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman today, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or a mother or a whatever, I'm sure you can get something out of it. Or I don't know what the whatever is. It doesn't matter who you are, though, I'm sure you can get something out of it, because it's a list of godly attributes. I am specifically aiming it at mothers, in particular young mothers, just purely because that's my experience. You know, I've got young kids. But definitely, definitely this applies to everybody, no matter what the age of your kids, or whether you have kids at all, or like I said, even if you're a man, it still applies. So hopefully you are encouraged and inspired as we talk about a modern day Proverbs 31 woman. I like to call it the Proverbs 31 translated for modern audiences. So who is this woman that we're talking about? Well, number one, she's someone who provides for her family. It says throughout the chapter that she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Excuse me for bringing this up close. It's so tiny on my phone. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for they are all clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, etc., etc. She's providing for her family. If we were to put this into like our modern day language and experience, it would probably look something more like this. And again, excuse me, this is tiny. Adrian unfortunately got rid of his iPad in order to buy a new lens. And it does say in there that it respects her husband. She respects her husband.
How's that breakfast now?
That was nice.
Yeah.
It must be a surprise later tonight. All right. So this is what it looks like now. I reckon some of you might recognize yourselves in this a lot more than we would, you know, the distaff and all that. So she goes shopping and cooks to make sure her children have food to eat. She helps work out a budget. She makes sure the family has appropriate clothes for the seasons in about the right size. She washes the clothes. She does the cleaning. She might not, you know, say that she gets up while it is still dark. Well, I think all of us sort of shudder at that. But the truth is that I know every mother and probably most fathers would be getting up during the night to feed the baby or to comfort the child who's had a bad dream or to clean up vomit at like 2:30 in the morning, which is never nice. Changes nappies, wipes bottom, cleans wee off the ground way more often than I really would like to. She goes to work to contribute to the family budget, or she stays at home with the kids in her PJs all day. Both are equally valid, both are good, depending on what your family situation is like. She makes school lunches, she helps with homework, she signs school notes, she reads hundreds of parenting articles on Facebook and then stays up late worrying that she's not achieving any of it. She does craft with the kids, she puts something on TV for them for a moment's sanity, or to clean, or to have a shower. Even when she's completely exhausted and struggling to get out of bed or to do her hair, or not even really bothering to do her hair actually, she keeps going and she keeps providing.
Good.
And look, honestly, that list could go on and on and on, because the things that we do for our kids, the list is endless. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't really need to elaborate on this point too much, because we know that obviously God wants us to provide for our children. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Children won't thrive if those basic needs are not being met.
Yeah.
We know that. We hear the horror stories of the kids who are in just complete neglect. And in fact, I heard one this week, I just read about it in the Illawarra Mercury, where it was, just made me shudder. So nasty. We know that it's really important. So I don't feel like I really need to go on about it. But in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, I will read this. 1 Timothy 5:8. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a leader in the church, and instructing him to give this teaching to the people in his church. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we know we need to provide for our kids. And the truth is that that's what the Proverbs 31 woman was doing, and that's what all of us do, not just for our kids necessarily, but we provide where we need to provide. And the thing I love is that, like, you know, those of, like, my mum has grown-up kids now, and she's still, you know, looking after us and providing for us and being a listening ear for us and supporting us and loving us and doing all of that. It never ends, and I love that. So the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who provides for her kids. She might not be always, like I said, getting up while it is still dark and making coverings for her bed, but she makes sure that her kids are looked after and her needs are met. And of course, dads do it too, and yeah, I don't need to go on about that. So hopefully you are recognizing yourself in this woman already and realizing that, yeah, I might not have it right all the time or even lots of the time, but I'm getting something right.
Good
job, Lizzie.
So she is somebody who provides for her family.
That's great, Liz.
Number two, she is a homemaker. I really just like that word, so I wanted to use it. Homemaker. It says, again, sorry about this. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Sorry for what I said before, Adrian. She brings him good, not half, all the days of her life is good for him. She selects woolen flax, works with eager hands, sets about her work vigorously. She's got strong arms for her tasks. Mine aren't that physically strong, but you know what it means. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. In the Message version, in verse 19, it says that she is diligent in homemaking. And I just really love how it puts that, because this is talking about making a great home life, a great family life, you know, a place where our kids can feel safe and secure, where their emotions are being met. We're talking about a woman who is working hard at the relationships in her life, not always getting it right, but working hard at having godly relationships in her life. We're talking about a woman who sees that her kids are scared and gives them cuddles, or sees that they've, you know, got blood dripping off their knee because they've grazed it, gives them cuddles for that as well. We're talking about a woman who forgives her kids when they're driving her up the wall. Someone who extends grace towards people. We're talking about somebody who apologizes when she gets it wrong. And you know, the truth is that I find myself apologizing to my kids a lot for getting things wrong, or for just completely losing my cool with them. That doesn't really happen. She creates an environment where the kids feel safe to be able to express their emotions, because the truth is our kids can't regulate their own emotions properly yet. They're kids, you know, we learn to do that. The truth is that so many of us as adults find it hard to regulate our own emotions, and the kids just have no understanding yet of what even these big ugly things I'm feeling are. And the Proverbs 31 woman creates a safe space where her kids can feel safe to be able to express those emotions, and then teach and guide on how to, you know, appropriately express them in the future. She organises fun things to do with the family, which could be as simple as just getting a bowl of popcorn for the kids and watching a movie together, or, I don't know, making games nights. We started having games nights recently, and they're really fun, every couple of weeks. We're talking about somebody who organises, you know, maybe family holidays or just a walk on the beach, you know, fun things to do as a family. We're talking about somebody who teaches and guides children and brings them up in the way of God, the training, trains them up in the way of God. It says in Ephesians 6 verse 4, it's talking about fathers, but I think it equally applies to both parents. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I know how many of us are already thinking, oops, failed at the exasperating. The truth is, though, that we're doing a good job. We don't get it right all the time. But, you know, we're getting it right a lot more often than we give ourselves credit for. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And we know this one, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not part from it. That's one of the things that Proverbs 31 woman does. That's what a modern Proverbs 31 woman does. And something else she does to create a great home life that I think is really important is that she prays for her family, and she speaks out positive words over their lives. Something that I asked God for when I was pregnant with Joel, actually, and then with all of them after that. I asked God for, actually, God just gave me a word for my pregnancy and for Joel as he was growing up, and so I asked for it after that. And so now I have these words, I pray them over them like every night when they go to bed. And so I would encourage each of you to ask God for a word for your kids.
Yeah, that's good.
Some, if you need some ideas, these are some of the ones that I pray over my kids. Psalm 127 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are children born in one's youth. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and hope. John 10:10, I pray over them that they would have life to the full. And I pray over them that they'll be warriors and worshippers and leaders, and that they would know God's love and peace every day, and that, you know, love and goodness and mercy would follow them every day of their lives. Like, there's so many good verses in the Bible that we can pray over our kids and declare over them. So I believe that a modern day Proverbs 31 woman is declaring these good things over
that's
her
awesome.
Kids.
That's
trying really news. Hard not to declare anything negative over them in our moments of frustration, because that's really not very helpful. And extending grace towards them. So the Proverbs 31 woman creates a great home life. Just so you know, all of those like great things that I just talked about, I fail at all of them all the time, a lot of the time. But the truth is that, you know, I also get it right a lot of the time. Yeah, and we've got to give ourselves credit for that as parents. Because we're going to fail at them sometimes. And sometimes we're going to get it right. But if we keep seeking God and asking him for his strength, then, you know, he'll help us along the way. And our kids will not be harmed by it, I can assure you. Not unless that's all we're doing. So, doesn't mean getting it right all the time. But it means also giving ourselves some grace when we do fail as well. And not beating ourselves up. So the Proverbs 31 woman, she provides for her kids and she's a homemaker. Number three, she's generous. It says in Proverbs 31 that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I actually think part of this is like the homemaking I was talking about, opening up our home to people and opening up our hearts to people. And it talks about it in Romans 12 as well. Oops, had that marked. There it is. In Romans 12, starting at verse 9, there's a really good passage in the Bible that I really like to come back to. I think of it as the showing practical love part of the Bible. I really like it. It says, in verse 9, chapter 12, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another amongst you, above yourselves. Skipping down to 13, share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. In the NLT version, it says, don't just pretend to love people, really love them.
Yeah.
And this is who the Proverbs 31 woman is. And to be honest, probably all of us have, you know, are doing this at the moment anyway. I mean, how many of us have offered to babysit for a friend who's going through a hard time? Or how many of us have offered to cook dinners? Or how many of us have offered even just to lend a listening ear to somebody and a cup of tea when they're struggling? Or to help someone move and pack when they've needed to get out of their house for whatever reason? I think as women, and men too, but I think as women we have this really great ability to be able to see needs and to get people together in order to be able to see that need met. I see the parents, like the parents in my mum's group, who, you know, see something happening with one of us and organise for everyone to cook a meal and bombard them with some love, which is great. And then I see like all of these amazing women who are the parents of the kids at Joss School, and, you know, some of them are fundraising for, you know, great causes that they've seen, and they've seen this need and thought, what can I do about that? They've gathered people together and met the need. Or another person who saw some stuff happening down in Shell Harbour environment and said, okay, we're going to have to lobby council. So she went to council, talked to them, set up a Facebook page, which is just this week, and has got heaps of people, you know, doing it. I think that we have a really great ability to be able to do that, whether that's in the small things, like the cooking of dinners, or the big things, like, you know, starting charities or whatever it might be. You know, that's just generous.
Good,
Lizzie.
And we can do that. And those little everyday generosity things are just as important as the big things in people's lives. And this is who we are. And on this topic as well, I think it's really important that not only are we looking out for other people and seeing what we can do to help them and be generous towards them, but also having that village around us who can be there for us when we need it as well is so important. It's a cliche, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, but it is so, so, so true. And, you know, I've had so many people come and help me with stuff in the past and support me when I've really been struggling, like when Caleb was born, for example. I had quite a traumatic birth there, and I had people bringing up food to the hospital because hospital food is, you know, not always great. I had people going out and buying clothes for him because he was going to be tiny and I wasn't prepared for that and was in hospital and couldn't get him any. Like, so much practical love. I've had, you know, people make beautiful things for my children, like quilts. He's not in the room at the moment, but Kirsten has just showered so many people with these beautiful quilts that she's made. And, you know, there's people who can get around you and help you. Even just this week, when I was talking to a friend on the phone who is in this room, and they know who they are, so it's a little bit awkward, but I even had just like random phone call and said, I'm just really struggling a bit at the moment. And so she was down a couple of days later for a cup of tea and brought morning tea, and I could just vent, and that was nice. Like, we need to have those people in our lives that we can do that for, because we can't do this parenthood thing by ourselves.
We
cannot do it by ourselves. I really like, I've seen on Facebook a few times recently, this meme where it says, find your tribe and love them hard. And I really like that. Those people who are your tribe and just love them hard. I really like that. And they will love you hard too. And on top of that, be asking God in your day-to-day life, God, you know, these people who I don't even know yet at the shopping center or wherever I am, what need are you asking me to meet today? You know, ask God to keep your heart open and your eyes open to those around you as well. That's who the Proverbs 31 woman is.
That's right.
Just quickly before we go on to our last point, I just want to say, women have this amazing ability to be able to do those things, like to get into action and do stuff. But unfortunately, and I've seen it heaps on social media, we also have an amazing ability to tear people down with our words. And that's totally not what this is about. It's the complete opposite. It's interesting that we can be quite good at both extremes of that. So just make sure that your words are seasoned with love and grace to everybody, anywhere, no matter what. I thought I would just put that one in as a free bonus. And finally, number four, her strength is found in God. And I left that to last, because actually it's by far the most important. All of the other stuff comes from it. Like I said, we can't live a life that's completely beautifully balanced, but we can live a life that honors God, and he'll help sort out the rest of it for us.
Amen.
Her strength is found in God. It says she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The best thing that we can do for our kids as mothers, or for our friends as women or as men, is the best thing we can do is to follow the call of God upon our life, and to spend time with him every day. The truth is that when I have days where I haven't spent time with God as well as I should have, where I've just thought, okay, I'm going to read this verse and, you know, moved on, the kids have jumped on top of me or whatever has happened, it's those days, especially when there's a few in a row, that I am just losing my cool as quick as anybody can speak. With everybody, I'm short with Adrian, I'm short with the kids, they have a meltdown, and then I have a meltdown too because I'm the adult, and that's, you know, appropriate. No, it's appropriate. Acting completely like a child. We really need to draw our strength from God every day, because he's the one who's going to help us with that. And the thing is too, when I draw strength from God, I find that he gives me wisdom in all of the different things that I need to face. Like, there are days when I'm like, you know, God, my kid is sick and I just don't know what to do about this right now. Like, God, what do I need to do right now? And God will give me wisdom and help me get through that. And often, you know, when I'm tired and I'm cooking dinner and I don't feel like cooking dinner, and the kids are just not stopping climbing up the top of the bookcase while I'm trying to cook dinner, and then, you know, this one's hitting that one and whatever is happening at the time, we all know what's like. In those moments, when one of them just has a crazy meltdown and is going to delay dinner by a good half an hour and it's already late, it's those moments where I can say, God, I need some wisdom right now to deal with this. I don't know what to do to defuse this situation. And God always, he always comes through. Sometimes not exactly the way I would have expected or in the exact time frame that I would like, but he always does, and he always gives us wisdom. Another part of finding our strength in God, and I think this is so important. In fact, I almost wanted to show you another more serious Christina Kuzmich video, but there's just not time. But she has a really great one about not comparing ourselves to other people, particularly other mothers, if we're a mother. Because the truth is, when we compare ourselves to anybody, we're always going to come off second best in our own minds, and that's not going to help anybody. Because the truth is that you cannot mother your children or be a parent to your children in the same way as the person next to you can. You just can't do it, which is why God gave you your children.
Amen.
And gave them their children, because God's entrusted you with your particular set of and mix of talents and experiences and personality to raise your kids, because he trusts you with them. And so to compare ourselves to others is really not helpful. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? Because we go on Facebook and we see pictures of everybody who's got a perfect life, because they're posting the perfect pictures. But the truth is that that perfect life is not a perfect life. and that's just what they're seeing. And so we compare, again, it's a bit of a cliche, but we compare our best with their, no, other way around, our worst with their best. And of course we come off second best every time. So the truth is that all of us fight parenthood hard, and all of us are doing a fantastic job at it. Even with all of the other, you know, all of the failings. And, you know, seriously, I've, like, even just the last few weeks have been up late just thinking about all the ways that I'm failing my children. Because that's what we sometimes do. And it's really not helpful. It's just not helpful, and we got to stop it. So draw your strength from God and from Him alone, and He'll help everything flow in your life. So who is the Proverbs 31 woman? Well, we know she's fictional for a start. But also at the same time, she is all of you. Because when we ask God to help us live the life that He wants us to live, then we are being the Proverbs 31 woman. And He's sorting all the other stuff out. We need His grace. We know that. We know that we don't get it right all the time. But the truth is that we are the Proverbs 31 woman. And we should stop looking at that chapter in the Bible and thinking, I can't compare to that. Because that's who we are. And really, when it comes down to it, the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who honors God, you know, in with her life, who God can use for His glory. Just like women in the Bible who were not perfect, but who God used for His glory. You know, Rahab. Rod was talking about a few of them. Ruth, Naomi, Deborah. Not perfect women, but women who God used for His glory. And you are that mother, or that woman, or that man as well. Let's pray. Thank you.